John F. Kennedy Library, President's Office Files, Presidential Recordings Collection, Meeting Recording Number 31.2. 48 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The excision is indicated. For additional information, please see Recording Log Number 31.2.
Conversation we had with the Russians. That's what, even last night, we talked about Cuba for a while. take them out on a quick airstrike. We neutralized the danger to the United States of these missiles being used, and we prevent a situation from arising, at least within Cuba, where the Cubans themselves are the means of exercising some degree of authority in this hemisphere. On the other hand, we increased the chance greatly, as I think there's bound to be a reprisal from the Soviet Union, there always is. They're just going in and taking Berlin by force some more, which leaves me only one alternative, which is fire nuclear weapons, which is a hell of an alternative. I mean, in a nuclear exchange, all this happening. On the other hand, if we begin the blockade that we're talking about, the chances are they will begin a blockade and say that we started it. And there'll be some question about the attitude of the European. So that, once again, they will say that there'll be a good feeling in Europe that the Berlin blockade has been commenced by our blockade. So I don't think we've got any satisfactory alternatives. We balanced off that our problem is not merely Cuba, but also Berlin. And when we recognize the importance of Berlin to Europe, recognize the importance of our allies to us, that's what has made this thing be a dilemma for 3 days. Otherwise, our answer would be quite easy. On the other hand, we've got to do something, because to do nothing, we're going to have the problem in Berlin anyway. It's been very clear last night. We're going to have this thing stuck right in our guts in about 2 months. And so we've got to do something. Now, the question really is, let's see. Three, six, four, five, six, seven, they'd be ready in December 62. Since only the visible additional mission may be covered additional, no pilot intending to be restored. It just makes count if it's not to deliver the wires and the yields in the low megaton range. Communication tower's integrated air defense system is now nearing operational status. What does that mean, integrated?
That means that we're hearing electronic emissions now suggesting that they have sectors for their air defense in Cuba. I presume this is the latest intelligence.
Well, I just wanted to say that these were some of the problems that we've been considering. I've led to hear from.
Well, I would just say one thing and then turn it over to General LeMay. Well, we recognize all these things, Mr. President, but I think we'd all be unanimous in saying that really our strength in Berlin, our strength any place in the world, is the credibility of our response under certain conditions. And if we don't respond here in Cuba, we think the credibility of our response
right.
in Berlin
is right. So that's why we've got to respond. Now the question is, when we find respond.
Well, I certainly agree with everything General Taylor has said, and emphasize a little strongly, perhaps, that we don't have any choice except direct military action. If we do this blockade that's proposed and political action, the first thing that's going to happen is your missiles are going to disappear into the woods, particularly your mobile ones. Now, we can't find them then, regardless of what they do, and then we're going to take some damage if we try to do anything later on.
Well, couldn't they, can't they be summoned undercover now in the sense of not having been delivered?
There's a possibility of that, but the way they've lined these others up out, I would say there's a small possibility. If they were going to hide any of them, they would think they would have hit them all. I don't think there are any hit. So the only danger we have picked up some or set them in plain sight. This is possible. If we do low altitude photography over them, this is going to be a tip-off, too. Now, as for the Berlin situation, I don't share your view that if we knock off Cuba, they're going to knock off Berlin. We've got the Berlin problem staring us face anyway. If we don't do anything to Cuba, then they're going to push on Berlin, and push real hard, because they got us on the run. If we take military action against Cuba, then I think that...
What do you think their reprisal would be?
I don't think they're going to make any reprisal. If we tell them that the Berlin situation is just like it's always been, if they make a move, we're going to fight. I don't think it changes the Berlin situation at all, except you've got to make one more statement on it. see no other solution. This blockade and political action I see leading into war. I don't see any other solution to it. It'll lead right into war. This is almost as bad as the appeasement of Munich. Because if the boat blockade comes along, our MiGs are going to fly, the IL-28s are going to fly against it, and we're just going to gradually drift into war under conditions that are a great disadvantage to us, with missiles turned us in the face of that can knock out our airfields in the south and southeastern portion, and if they use nuclear weapons, there'd be population down there. So we just drift into a war under conditions that we don't like. But I just don't see any other solution except direct military intervention right now.
Well, Mr. President, I feel that the course of action recommended to you by the chiefs from a military point of view is the right one. I think it's the best one from the political point of view. I'll address myself to the alternative of the blockade. If we institute a blockade from the military point of view, we can carry it out. It is easier for us and requires less forces if we institute a complete blockade rather than a partial blockade, because instituting a partial blockade involves visitive search of all of these neutral ships and taking them in, perhaps to ports, will certainly cause a great deal of more concern on the part of the neutrals than if we go ahead and institute a complete blockade. If we institute a complete blockade, we are immediately having a confrontation with the Soviet Union, because it's the Soviet block ships which are taking the material to Cuba. The blockade will not affect the equipment that is already in Cuba and will provide the Russians in Cuba time to assemble all of these missiles, to assemble the IL-28s, to get the MiGs and their command and control system ready to go. And I feel that as this goes on, I agree with General LeMay, that this will escalate, and then we will be required to take other military action at greater disadvantage to the United States, to our military forces, and probably would suffer far greater casualties within the United States if these fanatics do indeed intend to fire any missiles. We certainly cannot guarantee under those circumstances that we could prevent damage and loss of life in the United States itself. I think we have a good chance of greatly minimizing any loss of life within the United States under the present conditions if we act fairly soon, although we do recognize they're moving very fast. I do not see that as long as the Soviet Union is supporting Cuba, that there is any solution to the Cuban problem except a military solution. On the other hand, we recognize fully the relationship to the Berlin situation. The communists have got, in this case, a master situation from their point of view, where every course of action posed to us is characterized by unpleasantries and disadvantages. It's the same thing of Korea all over again, or on a grander scale. We recognize the great difficulty of a military solution in Berlin. I think on balance, the taking positive, prompt, affirmative action in Berlin, demonstrating the confidence, the ability, the resolution of the United States, on balance, I would judge it, would be to deter the Russians from more aggressive acts in Berlin. And if we didn't take anything, they'd feel that we were weak. So I subscribe fully to the concept recommended by the General Chief.
Seems to me that we have to assume that just an R2 military, when we grabbed their two UN people and they threw two of ours out, we got to assume there's going to be, they would not strike this. I mean, they can't do it any more than we can let these go on without doing something. They can't let us just take out, after all their statements, take out their missiles, kill a lot of Russians, and then not do anything. It's quite obvious that what they would think they would do is try to get Berlin. But that may be a risk we have to take, but I think it seems to be better.
Well, in history, it's been, I think, the other way, Mr. President, where we have taken a strong stand. They have backed off. Lebanon.
I would agree, Mr. President. I think from the point of view of faith, they'll do something, but I think it'll be considerably less, depending on the posture we show here. And I can't swear. really see them putting the screw there. The dangers of hitting Berlin are just as great or greater after our action down here, because we have...
Right, I think they're going to wait for 3 months till they get these things all ready and then squeeze us in Berlin. The only thing at that point, for what it's worth, it may not be worth much. At least we have the support of Europe this way.
That is true.
We have to figure that Europe will regard this action no matter what pictures we show afterwards as having been...
I guess right.
Mr. President, in my judgment, from a military point of view, the lowest risk course of action, if we're thinking of protecting the people of the United States against a possible strike on us, is to go ahead with a surprise airstrike, the blockade, and an invasion, because these series of actions progressively will give us increasing assurance that we really have got the offensive capability of the Cuban Soviets cornered. Now, admittedly, we can never be absolutely sure until and unless we actually occupy the island. Now, I've also taken into consideration a couple of other things at the present time. To date, Khrushchev has not really confronted us with Soviet power. In other words, he has not declared Cuba a part of the Warsaw Pact, nor has he made an announcement that this is a Soviet base. Although I think that there's a chance that he may do this at any time, particularly later in November when he comes to the United States. And this course of action would then immediately have us confronting the Soviets and not Cuba. And at that time, Soviet prestige, world prestige, would be at stake, which it is not at the present time. The effect of this base in Cuba, seems to me, has at least two sizable advantages from his point of view and two sizable disadvantages from our point of view. First, the announcement of a Soviet base in Cuba would immediately have a profound effect in all of Latin America, at least, and probably worldwide, because the question would arise, is the United States incapable of doing something about it or unwilling to do something about it? In other words, it would attack our prestige. Not only that, increasingly, they can achieve a sizable increase in offensive Soviet strike capabilities against the United States, which they do not now have. They do have ICBMs that are targeted on us, but they are in limited numbers. Their air force is not by any manner of means of the magnitude and capability that they probably would desire. And this short-range missile force gives them a sort of a quantum jump in their capability to inflict damage on the United States. And so, as I say, from the military point of view, I feel that the lowest risk course of action is the full gamut of military action by us.
Mr. President, there's a question in my mind on what, under what circumstances would Cuba want to inflict damage on the United States? The placing of the kinds of weapons and the bombers that can do that certainly demands a hell of a lot of attention. One feature of this that I've been unable to reconcile, and I wonder whether the American people and the other nations of the world could reconcile it, that is that we are now so anxious, or we're discussing the anxiety of eliminating the possibility of damage to America from the Cuban area. Whereas for a good many months, the world has known and we've known that we have tremendously greater potential already aimed in on us from Russia than it has been for many months. We didn't attack Russia. I think that's a hard thing to reconcile, at least it is in my mind, I would think would be in the American public and other nations of the world. If it's a matter of distance, that it's closer now, well, missiles land pretty, if they have nuclear warheads down there, we know they have them in Russia. So if they want to inflict damage, it's a question whether Khrushchev wants to have them do it and him keep out of it. So if there is a requirement to eliminate this threat of damage, then it's going to take some forces, sizable forces, to do it. And as we wait and wait and wait, then it will take greater forces to do it. And when, as long as it isn't done, then those forces, increasingly, the increasingly requirements for greater forces, will be absolutely tied to that function. And they're going to have to stand by to take care of that function. And you will then have a considerable force of troops, ships, aircraft, tied to this requirement that someday may happen. I can't conceive that they would attack us just for the fun of it. They might do it at the direction of Khrushchev, but I cannot see why they would attack us, because they couldn't invade and take us. So there's a question in my mind in the political area, and as I say, the public and the people, what does this mean? Does it mean they're getting ready to attack us, that little pipsqueak of a place? If so, Russia has a hell of a lot better way to attack us than to attack us from Cuba. Then, in my mind, this all evolved upon the fact that they do have it. They can damage us increasingly every day, and each day that they increase, we have to have this more sizable force tied to this problem. And then they're not available in case something happens someplace else. And each time you then had to take some action, Berlin, South Vietnam, Korea, you would be degrading. You'd have to degrade your capability against this ever-increasing force of Cuba. So that, in my opinion, if we want to eliminate this threat that is now closer, but it's not nearly the threat that we've experienced all these months and months, if it wants to be eliminated, then we're going to have to go in there and do it in a full-time job to eliminate the threat against us. Then if you want to take over the place and really put in a new government that is non-communist, then you'll have to invade the place. And if that decision is made, we must go in with plenty of insurance of a decisive success in the quickest possible time.
Well, it is a fact that the number of missiles there, let's say, no matter what they put in there, if we live today under, if they don't have enough ICBMs today, they're going to have them in a year. They obviously get put in over.
This increased their accuracy against the 50 targets that we know that they can hit now. But the big thing is, if we leave them there, is a blackmail threat against not only us, but the other South American countries that they may decide to operate against. But one other factor that I didn't mention that's not quite in our field is a political factor, but you invited us to comment on this one time, and that is that we have had a talk about Cuba and the SAM sites down there, and made some pretty strong statements about the independence, but we would take action against offensive weapons. I think that a blockade and political talk would be considered by a lot of our friends and neutrals that made a pretty weak response to this, and I'm sure a lot of our own citizens would feel that way too. In other words, you're in a pretty bad fix at the present time.
We say it.
You're in a pretty bad fix.
You're in with us.
With regard to the blockade plan, Mr. President, say we're studying now to see all the implications. We're not really haven't gone into it deeply. There are two things that strike us at the outset. The one is the difficulty of maintaining surveillance. We just don't see how we can do that without taking losses and getting into some form of air warfare with this house. Secondly, there's a problem with Guantanamo, which is a curious obstacle to us to some degree. I might ask Admiral Anderson to comment on the how we can protect our position in Guantanamo during a state of blockade.
Well, our position in Guantanamo becomes increasingly vulnerable. Because certainly the imposition of the blockade is going to infuriate the Cubans, and they have got a mass of militia, and they can come on around Guantanamo, and I don't know whether they would actually attack Guantanamo or not, but we would certainly have to provide increased forces around there to defend Guantanamo, which we're in the process of reinforcing right now. Also, they have these short-range cruise missiles, they have three groups of those, primarily coast defense, their MiGs, their aircraft, all pose a threat to Guantanamo. So the threat is greatly increased and intensified during the course of a blockade.
I think Guantanamo is going to cease to be a useful naval base and become more a fortress, more or less in a permanent state of siege.
If we were going to do there's a good deal of difference between taking a strike, which strikes just the missiles that are involved. That's one action which has a certain effect, escalating effect. The other is do a strike which takes out all the planes. That's very much of an island sweep. There is the invasion, which takes a period of 14 days or so by the time we get it mounted, maybe 18 days. Well, we have to assume that, I don't know what the Soviet response, each of these would have to be different. One, we're slowly building up to an invasion, fighting our way across the island. That's a different situation from taking out these offensive weapons.
I think we've got to do more than take out the missiles, because if you don't take out their air at the same time, you're vulnerable down in that section of the world to electric strikes from their air. They could come in at low altitude and do it, because we haven't got much of a low altitude capability. In addition, that air would be used against any other surveillance you had, too. So if you take out the missiles, I think you've got to take out their air along with it, and their radar and the communications and the whole works. It just doesn't make any sense to do anything but that.
Well, except that we've had the air for some time. What we've talked about is having ground-to-ground missiles. There isn't any, as I say, the problem is not really the sort of war against Cuba, but the problem is part of this worldwide struggle with the communists, particularly, as I say, over Berlin. And the loss of Berlin, the effect of that, and the responsibility we would bear, as I say, I think the Egyptian and the Hungary thing and the obvious parallel that I'm concerned about.
If you lose in Cuba, you're going to get more and more pressure right onto the land.
Worldwide problem has certainly been before us, Mr. President. We haven't ignored it. For me, it's been a deterrent to my enthusiasm for any invasion of Cuba, as I think you know. On the other hand, now that we see that it's not just going to be a place where they needle us by mobile missiles, but as I thought perhaps earlier in the week, but really an organized base where with numbers of missile complexes.
Of course, General Shoup's point, which is also made, is that there isn't any doubt if it isn't today, it's within a year, they're going to have enough. When you're talking about the number of ICBMs they have, they may not be quite as accurate. They got enough, they put them on cities. I mean, you know, I've seen these casualties figures, 80 million, whether it's 80 or 100, you're talking about the destruction of a country. So that, just like our missiles, you begin to duplicate your...
And
we use our own cities.
We can never talk about invading again after the way they get these missiles, because they got these pointed at our head.
Well, the argument is, the logical argument is that we don't really have to invade Cuba. That's not really, that's just one of the difficulties that we live with in life, like we live with the Soviet Union and China. That's the problem, however, is after for us not to do anything and wait till he brings up Berlin, and then we can't do anything about Cuba. But I do think we ought to be aware of the fact that existence of these missiles does not add to the danger, but doesn't create it. The danger right there now, they've got enough to give us submarines and ICBMs or whatever planes they do have. I mean, how they can kill, especially if they concentrate in the cities, and they pretty well got us there anyway.
And by logic, we ought to be able to say we can deter these missiles as well as the Soviet missiles, the ones in the Soviet Union. I think the thing that worries us, however, is that these are in potentially under the control of Castro. And Castro would be quite a different fellow to own missiles from Khrushchev. I don't think that's the case now, and perhaps Khrushchev would never willingly do so, but there's always the risk of their falling into Cuban hands.
Mr. President, one other item about the Guantanamo thing, and any initiative on our part immediately gives them the, I don't know the authority, but the right, probably, to let fly at Guantanamo.
Right.
And thus, the weapons that they have, including now another SAM site or two that could work on the place, surface missiles, they have a considerable number of gun emplacements within range of Guantanamo. So no, they, unless something is done to also at the same time neutralize this ability to take on Guantanamo, well, Guantanamo is in one hell of a fix.
Well, the only thing is, General, it's going to take us. Well, we could, what can we do about Guantanamo if we do this airstrike and they reply on Guantanamo?
Mr. President, our thinking on Guantanamo is this. We're reinforcing it right now, building up the strength for the defense of Guantanamo. We have air all earmarked to suppress the weapons which would be brought to bear immediately on Guantanamo. We would evacuate the dependence from Guantanamo immediately prior to the airstrike.
airfield there, in a sense, so we can operate, take a bomb, and then we can fix it, and we can operate. But it certainly terrifically reduces the potential value of the airfield that's there, the potential value of the shipping area, and what you then have is just a hunk of dirt that you're hanging on to for pride, prestige, political reasons, or what have you.
That's a liability, actually.
It becomes of no value unless the weapons, and that of course includes your doggone airplane that can bomb it, unless the weapons that can cause trouble there are eliminated, all you have is a hunk of dirt that's taken a hell of a lot of people to hang on to.
Well, let me ask you, if we go ahead with this airstrike, either on the missiles or the missiles in the plane, I understand the recommendations to do both. When could that be ready?
We can be ready for attack at dawn on the 21st. Being the earliest possible day.
Exactly.
The optimum day would be Tuesday morning. Tuesday is the optimum.
I suppose with this news now, they got two of them ready. We're running out of time, aren't we?
This is the mobile missile they're referring to.
I think it's highly questionable if they have two ready. It's best to assume they do, but the best information we have indicates it's still happening.
Why is it Tuesday instead of Sunday, General? What's the argument for that?
Well,
we can't hold this one. I don't know.
We were told to get ready as fast as possible. We're not recommending Sunday. We prefer Tuesday.
Well, the only problem I see is that it starts to break out of the papers.
Well, here's the only reason. We've had this plan for some time, but the Department of Defense didn't put out any pictures of target material on these new sites. That's the target material that's out being made right now.
Respond by making immediately a treaty with the East Germans and surrounding Berlin, denying our access to Berlin. Our garrisons and the people in Berlin can survive there for a long time, assuming that the Russians are not just overrunning the city with their own troops. Could we not apply sufficient diplomatic, economic, financial pressures to the entire Soviet bloc and gradually expand this so that we, for a considerable period of time, we are progressively cutting the Soviets off from their access to most of the countries in the free world, and at the same time have some sort of an acceptable, what would appear to be to us, an acceptable long-range political solution to all of Berlin.
Excision 1, 48 seconds excised.
In any case, there's no, unfortunately, just picking one more second best, so we just meeting at 11. I might as well continue with my tour because now to surface all this. And we'll be back in touch tonight, and I'm stopping. Your views, and as I said, I'm sure we all understand how rather unsatisfactory alternatives. The argument for the blockade was that what we want to do is avoid, if we can, a nuclear war by for escalation, for imbalance. Soviets increase they refused, they blockade Berlin, they blockade for military purposes, then we take an additional action so it comes up with some degree of control.
Chemical, all the reports that were the only action that was
I think everything is
I think we waited up on this, we'll be all right.
son of a bitch and do it right and quit frigging around. That was my point. You don't frig around and go take a missile out.
Well, maybe I missed the point.
Sure, question.